I was so busy worshipping there, I sort of lost the plot a little bit. I do apologise. Jesus, we do sing for all that you have done for us. We do sing your praises, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, as I bring your word this morning, it will be a word of encouragement and a word which will enable all of us, Lord, to know you better and to praise you better. Amen. I'm going to have to take these off because I realised halfway through the service I put the wrong glasses on this morning. I can't see a thing with them unless I'll be very focused on. Okay. We receive so many letters. We get letters through the letterbox, letters by email. We've had so many letters. I noticed there's a few letters at the back of the church, actually, just being left abandoned. Hadn't been picked up by people that knew they were there. And I thought I'll just use a few of these to sort of try and illustrate a bit maybe what I'm talking about. There's one here, it's been opened already. Anita's opened this one. It's to the church administrator, actually. And, it's a demand. If don't pay the electricity bill by Thursday, you're going to be cut off, Anita. Sorry about that, babe. You're going to go. We get so many letters. We get letters of complaint, don't we? We get so many letters. One here, look. This is just Julie. And it's centred. Julie, what have you been up to? Whoa! Look at that. Did you not find it? It was been in the back of that church in the middle of February. I mean, Ray has spent all his pocket money on that. Oh. We get letters. No, I'm not going to read it. I wouldn't embarrass people by doing that. We get letters expressing love, don't we? We get love letters. There's one here. What's this one? Andrew. A letter to Andrew. Yes, there is. And it hasn't been opened. You missed it. Let's see what this letter to Andrew says. Andrew. I just want to say how I love your preaching. It's good, isn't it? You are really encouraging. Every time I hear you speak, I go out determined to be better. Isn't that lovely when people get a word of encouragement like that? Isn't it great to have words given to us from encouragement? It says, love, Hazel. P.S. P.S., please can I buy that new dress? And the last one I've got, actually, it's addressed to you, Trevor. It's, sorry about that, boy. It's addressed to you, and it's on a bit of paper that's been ripped out of a notepad. Well, what it says is this. I have to take these off to read it. Dear Trevor, I'm not one to complain. And I'm sure that you understand that I'm writing this in love. Now, I've been involved in Christian ministry for something like 30 years, and every time someone says to me, I want to tell you something in love, there are normally two things that are missing from what follows. One is love and the other is grace. So, we get letters, don't we? We get all sorts of letters. There are many different types of letters, aren't there? There are letters of encouragement. There are letters which have no consequence. Junk mail, don't we? We get junk mail. Letters no consequence. We get unwelcome letters from bills, demands, complaints. We get well-received letters, letters of praise. Maybe we get a check in the post from a loved one or something like that. But here we go. Here's a question. And it's maybe a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you were to be described as a letter, if you were a letter, you know, just imagine, you've got a stamp on your forehead, you're going to be shoved through the letterbox. If you were a letter, what kind of letter would you be? What kind of letter are you? You know, if people look at you, you know, people are very good at sussing other people out. If people look at you, what message are you giving them? What are you saying? What is your letter? It seems like a daft question, doesn't it? But let's be a bit more specific. If you were a letter from Jesus, if you were a letter from Jesus, what would your letter say? What would your letter say? Luminita, if you're a letter from Jesus, Jesus has sent you to this earth as a letter, what would it say? I'm not going to ask you to answer that. I'm just, you know. Terry, if you, Jesus has sent you to this earth, he's put a spiritual stamp on your forehead, popped you through his spiritual letterbox, and you've popped out of the post, what would your message be? What would it say? That sounds like a daft question, doesn't it? It seems silly. You think, what is he on? What's he talking about, a letter from Jesus? Well, if you open your Bible, got your Bibles ready? I hope everyone's got the Bible. Now we've got mobile phones. No one has any excuse not to have a Bible. If you open your Bible at... Good on you. Beth, you are an absolute star. I can see you twinkling there halfway back. If you open your Bible at Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul says quite clearly, I'm reading from the NASB, which is what Trevor tells me is my favourite of the moment. It's good, isn't it, NASB? As Trevor said, it's probably the most literal translation. You yourselves are our letter. This is the Bible speaking to you here. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. Hey, you are known and read by everyone. When people come in contact with you, they read you. You carry a message. You show that you are a letter from Christ. So you see, it's not such a daft question, is it? Because you are a letter from Christ. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablet of stone, but on the tablet of human hearts. So you see, my silly question, if you were a letter from Jesus to the world, actually isn't so silly, because the Bible tells us that that is what you are. So I'll ask again, what kind of letter are you? What message do people get when they meet you or me? You know, when we become Christians, up until the point when we become Christians, life is in some ways a bit straightforward, isn't it? Yeah? When we become Christians, suddenly a whole new universe opens up to us. Now, you may find out about Jesus in many, many different ways. It may be someone tells you about Jesus. It may be the Pocket Testament League. You read that and you find out about it. Maybe you go to a meeting or whatever. Maybe the God badges you into the kingdom. You can't get away from him. Someone tells you about him. Someone else says, whatever, however it is you get into the kingdom, the time comes when you have to give in. At that point, as Paul says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, if you want to make a note of it. So we become a Christian, and the point at which we become a Christian is when we declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. At that point, we are saved. Saved from eternal death, saved into eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is all that we need for our salvation. Jesus, Jesus alone. Not Jesus plus anything else. That's another sermon I'll do another time, the Jesus plus heresy from Galatians. But just Jesus. But that is only the beginning of this exciting journey of faith as we move out into the exciting new universe. We're baptized in water. We're baptized by total immersion in water to show that we've passed from death and have been reborn into life. Thank you. Yay. And then, at some point. It's not a sequence. I'm trying to be theological, you know, sequence of this. But at some point, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who lives inside us, who teaches us, who encourages us, and who writes on our heart this letter from Jesus. You are a letter written by the Spirit of the living God on tablets of human hearts. So there's quite a lot to take in there. We confess Jesus as Lord, we're baptized in water, we receive the Holy Spirit, and that gives us the power to move on in our Christian life. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul, there's a lot of Paul in here today, I'm afraid. Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 19. That's a letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. Paul writes, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Here we go again, the Holy Spirit. Christ is dwelling in your heart through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is writing upon your heart. You are a letter from Jesus to the world. So you see, as Christians, we have Christ dwelling within us. We have the Holy Spirit changing us, writing God's message on our hearts so that we can be his letter to the world, living letters, each of us, not ink on paper, but the Holy Spirit engraving on our hearts. And that's okay, that's fine. I could stop there and say, that's a talk for today. That's a nice, easy talk. But the problem is, it's not that easy, because we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle, and one of the key battlegrounds is here in our heart. One of the key battlegrounds is in our heart. If we are full of the Holy Spirit, then I think Juanita, I think you said this last week, if we're full of the Holy Spirit, then there is no room for bitterness or fear or rejection. Yeah, thank you. If we're full of the Holy Spirit, there's no room for bitterness, for fear, or for rejection. But the devil wants to change that. You see, Satan wants to come in and bring fear where there shouldn't be fear. He wants to bring bitterness where there shouldn't be bitterness. He wants to bring rejection where there shouldn't be rejection. And he wants to change that letter. It's like a virus, if you like. You get your computer and you think, well, what happened there? That's not what I wrote. Something's being changed. And the devil wants to change that letter. As Christians, God, by his Holy Spirit, has written a letter on your heart. But the devil wants to fill your heart with rubbish. God has written a love letter. Satan wants to send hate mail. God has written encouragement, but the devil wants to send discouragement. God has written praise. The devil wants to send condemnation. God wants to build up. The devil wants to knock down. And that battle is taking place here. That battle is taking place in our hearts and in our minds. And the battle hurts. No, there are people here who are hurting because of that battle that's going on in their hearts and their minds. That battle hurts. Even Paul, back to Paul again, even Paul, in this extract of a much longer piece, says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do it. What I hate, I find myself doing it. And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good, but it's no longer me who does it, but it is sin living within me. He's in a battle. Even the great Paul was in a battle. Now, this has implications for each person here. It means that God has a purpose for each person's life. No good sitting down, trying to be in the queue, be comfortable, and sitting in your chair, being comfortable in the queue for coffee, thinking, that's nice, nice, cozy. No, you are called for a purpose. You're called not for the privilege of having a nice warm church to come to and beautiful decorations and lovely coffee afterwards. Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. Nice life groups where you can have nice and friendly and sociable. Oh, it's lovely. No, you're called. All that is good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's all good. But you're called for a purpose. And that purpose is part of the love letter that's written on your heart by Jesus. What do you do if you write a letter? Do you take a letter, you write it, you shove it in an envelope, you stick a stamp on the front, and then just drop it in the bin? Post it! Right! Yay! Someone's listening. Thank you. You post it. And you hope that the person who receives it will read it, and it'll impact on them. God's written a letter on your heart. You have the stamp of the Holy Spirit on you. He does not want that letter thrown in the bin. He doesn't want it wasted. Let's move on a bit. Because I did start off by saying, what type of letter are you? I want to change that question because it's a much more important question. And that is, what kind of letter do you desire to be? And that's much more important. Because a Christian life is not about where you were, it's about where you're going. It's not about your past, it's about your future. So forget the past. Forget all that stuff that was beyond. Doesn't matter. Not interested. What's the future? So let's not worry about what kind of letter you have been. Let's think about what kind of letter do you desire to be? Do you desire to be a letter of hope from Jesus? Maybe some people find they would like that, but actually they're full of discouragement rather than encouragement. Do you desire to be a letter of encouragement? Do you desire to be known as someone who builds up? You know, when I used to teach leadership, I was deputy chief executive at the Leadership Centre in Cambridge for several years, and I used to teach leadership all around the world. And one of the things I used to say to people I was teaching was, you know, don't moan about the people that work for you, because one of the things that leaders are always moaning about their staff, yeah, not yet. Don't moan about the people that work for you, because everybody brings joy. Everyone brings joy. Some by their arrival, some by the departure, but everyone brings joy. Are you the kind of person that brings joy by your arrival or by your departure? Are you a letter from Jesus that says, oh, great, isn't it great? I love it when I talk to that person. It's so encouraging. Or the kind of person, oh, I love it when they go home. You know, so what kind of person do you want to be? Do you desire to be a letter of God's love to the world? Do you desire to be sharing God's love in the world? And everyone said no. Did you? Okay, so let's ask you again. Do you desire to be a person that is sharing God's love with the world? Yeah! So what are you going to do about it? That's a different question. Okay, let's whiz through this last bit because I've still got 10 minutes left. It's okay. I might even finish early. First of all, it's all about being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to write on your heart unless you let him in, okay? That's a fair, you know, you're not going to read the letter unless you open the envelope. The Holy Spirit is not going to fill your heart unless you let him in. He's not going to write that love letter on your heart unless you let him in. You've got to let God in. So this may be for someone here. There may be someone here who knows all about Jesus. Many years ago, I went to a thing called an ACM, an Advisory Council of the Church's Ministry, to see if I was good enough or bad enough to be selected as a vicar in the Church of England. How glad I am that I decided I wasn't good enough. This is a sidetrack. One of the things you have to do is discuss things in small groups. And one of the questions we had to discuss was, there are many mountains up the mountain which lead to God, but Christianity is one of them. Discuss. So I say, well, that's straightforward. My Bible says, I am the truth, the life, the way. I am the, not I am a way, I am the way. The feedback I got was my thinking was far too rigid for the Church of England. Okay, fine, let's get back onto track. I met many people at that advisory council, and many people were very, very significant theologians. When some of them knew all about Jesus, they knew everything you could wish to know about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. You can know all about him. You know, you can know who his dentist was and whatever. You know, you can know everything there is about Jesus. But that's not important. What's important is that you know Jesus. And maybe there's someone here today who knows all about Jesus, have read the Bible, you know, but they haven't actually got to know him as their friend, their Lord, their Saviour. Well, now is the time. I'll give you 5 minutes time, I'm going to say. Anyone wants to do that? Anyone wants to come up here and say, I want to declare with my lips that Jesus is Lord? I'll invite people, if anyone wants to do that, to come up in a minute. It may, on the other hand, be that you've been a Christian for years and you've known Jesus for years, and yet you're living in your own strength. It may be that for someone here, or some people here, Christianity is a religion, something you do. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, God did not make us human doings. He made us human beings. Yeah? Our faith is not something you do. It's something you live. Our faith is not a religion. It's a relationship. If for you, for anyone here, maybe no one, but if there's anyone here for whom religion, this is religion about going to church. I go to church. Life is all about going to church. Maybe it's all about reading the Bible. Maybe it's all about attending. But it doesn't have that relationship with Jesus. Now is the time to move on. Now is the time to say, Lord, I want to repent of this religiosity, this religious approach I've had to you, and I want to move on and live in relationship with you. It may be that you have that relationship with Jesus, and I'm not going to say, I'm not putting any condemnation, I'm not saying there's anything wrong or bad or good. It's all about Jesus, that's all. It's all just Jesus. I'm not saying there's these things you've got to do in addition, but you're missing out if you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside you and empowering you. You're missing out if you don't have this counselor, this guide, this comforter. Maybe that you've heard about the Holy Spirit. Maybe that you've heard of strange things happening when people get baptized in the Spirit, you know. But so haven't done anything about it. And yet, this is Jesus speaking, not me. And I know it's Jesus speaking because it's in red in my Bible, okay? If you love me, you keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. You will know him because he abides within you. Abides, to abide, to settle in, to make it your home. To abide within you. In Luke's gospel, you find this again. I know it's by Jesus speaking because it's in red in my Bible, chapter 11, verse 13. The previous reference is John 14, 15, by the way. This one is Luke chapter 11, verse 13. We find this. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? All you've got to do is ask. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, don't delay. In 5 minutes' time, I'm going to ask you to come up. Let's all be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's say to the Holy Spirit, fill me to overflowing. Of course, it may be that you were filled with the Spirit some time ago, and somehow it seems such a long time ago. I remember the good old days of the Toronto Blessing. Oh, those good old days. I was filled with the Spirit of Pensacola. Oh, it was fantastic. For some of our number may remember the original Spirit fillings in 1912, was it, Trevor? 1905. That's Susan Street. Yeah, the Susan Street. Yeah, pouring out. You may be. It all seems so long ago now. Seems so long ago. Well, you know, I'm glad you're my illustration. You're having a drink of water at the back. What on earth are you having a drink of water for? You had one last week. Why do you want another one? You've already drunk water. You've done it. Because you need to keep drinking. It's no good saying, I had a drink of water 5 years ago. I don't need to drink anymore now. That's my thirst quench. No. That water dries up. You use it up. Your body uses up. You need to keep refreshing it. And you find the Holy Spirit needs to keep refreshing you, or you get tired and you get worn out, you keep refreshing. When Paul writes in Ephesians about be filled with the Spirit, sorry? That's right. He uses something called the present continuous tense. In other words, not just be filled with the Spirit once, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. So if you're feeling dry, now is the time to be refreshed. Okay. So you're Spirit filled, you're refreshed, but you still need to allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. A week or so ago, we had guests around for a meal, and Sally did a lovely job making all the house beautiful. All the thing was hooed, everything was tidied up, the cushions were all plumped. You know, there's little bunch of flowers around the place. It was lovely. We had our guests come in. I said, come sit in the kitchen for a cup of tea and a few nibbles while we're ready. Let's go into the dining room. Let's have a nice... It was lovely. Bertie was there. He was on a good behaviour. Yeah, Bertie loves Colin. And Sally is quite poorly. She's got MS, so she can't move very well. So he's very gentle towards Sally. He's very rough with Colin. He makes up for it. Anyway, after the meal, we went into the lounge. We sat in the lounge on our freshly plumped cushions, and we had the log burner on. It was lovely. Lovely. But we wouldn't take him upstairs. God. Parts of upstairs were still a mess. We hadn't made the bed. You know, there was a pile of washing in one corner of somewhere else. I may suffer for that afterwards, actually, but there you go. You know, are we like this with the Holy Spirit? Are we like this with the Holy Spirit? Do we say to the Holy Spirit, you can come into this part. Yes, come in, but you're not having that part. You can come into this part of my life, but that part's a bit messy. I don't want you there. Thank you very much. Are we like that? Or do we say to the Holy Spirit, you can have free reign? Don't hold back. If you want the Holy Spirit to write his love letter on your heart, you've got to invite it in wholeheartedly. Don't hold back. And finally, you need to be prepared to change. You can't say, I'm moving forward, but I want to keep doing the stuff I was doing. You can't plow with your oxen if you keep looking back, or your plow furrow will go wobbly. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12:20, he said this, I'm afraid when I come to you that I may not find you as I want you to be, and may not find me as you want me to be. I fear there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, disorder. That's the early church he's talking about, who hadn't yet moved forward, hadn't allowed their blessing of the Holy Spirit to change them. I'm not suggesting, by the way, anyone in this church fits any of that bill. I'm not suggesting anywhere in this church is any kind of discord or jealousy or rage or selfish ambition or slander or gossip or anything like that. But there may be other ways in which we need to allow ourselves to change. In Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, Paul writes, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." I want to conclude now by saying, if anything I've said today has spoken to you, come forward. We've got a prayer team will pray for you. As Christians, we carry a love letter to the world written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We're engaged in a battle. The devil is trying to change that letter. We need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit and accept this will change. In that point, we will be able to fulfill our destiny as a love letter God wants to send out in the world. So if you need to know Jesus and make a commitment to him, if you need to say, "I want to say that you are my Lord and Savior, I believe that with all my heart," come up and do it now. As a visible demonstration to the powers of darkness that he is beaten. If you need to know Jesus better, not just a religion, but you need to know him as a personal Savior, as a personal friend, and you want to have that constant companion with you for the rest of your life, come up now. If you need strength for the battle for your heart, come up and someone will pray with you. If you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, come up and get filled. If you feel dry and need refreshing, come up and be refreshed. There are so many reasons. I'm up here already. I want someone to pray with me. And we pray that God will pour out his Holy Spirit into this church in increasing measure, so that we can all be living love letters from God to a world in need. Amen.